Hi everyone, welcome to episode 59 of the Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Wednesday and it's December 6th. We've nearly reached the end of the year.
Yes. Well, this week we're going to take a look back at 2017 and share with you some of our favourite reads of the year. And we're also going to talk about Nevermore by Jessica Townsend.
In case you've been living under a rock and haven't heard about this wonderful book yet.
Yes.
I feel like it's everywhere.
That's right, it is everywhere. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, you can go to teaandthetreetops.com and there's a button there on the side that says buy us a coffee. And
we always need caffeination.
And if you would, you know, buy us a coffee, that would be wonderful, because yeah, we do need the caffeine. Okay, so we've got a bit of film news. So
okay,
there's quite a few
news.
I mean, I feel like at the moment, as soon as a book gets published, they also sell the film rights, and a lot of those books never get made into films.
It is. It's pretty much, I feel that Hollywood these days just isn't willing to take a risk on any new material of their own. So their favourite way of doing things is look at all the books that are coming out, snap up anything that they think could be potential,
yep.
And then it could sometimes sit on the back burner forever.
That's right.
But sometimes they get made, depending on how the
book absolutely.
Goes. It's much easier for them to just bank on a definite audience of fans.
Of readers, yeah. Well, there are a few books that have just come out recently that have now been optioned for film. One of them was Nevermore, which we just mentioned.
And I think that's going to be a great movie, personally.
It will be, yeah. It's quirky, but I think it could be amazing. But yeah, we'll talk more about that when we do our review later. The other one I saw recently was The Wrath and the Dawn by Renee Ardier. That was the one, the Scheherazade story.
I love it. Don't know how that would go as a movie, but I loved it. It's
I
very much.
Read, there's a second one, right? I haven't read the second one.
I couldn't actually get into the second one. I tried twice and I gave up at about 30%.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it won't be.
I think I was pretty busy, though, at the time, was part of the problem.
Okay.
I don't say that the book is the problem in this instance. I think it could have been me, but it wasn't as addictive as the first one. The first one drew me in, but it was just an excellent book.
It was a great story.
I don't know how that would go as a film, because it was really just about the two characters. They have to have a really good chemistry, those actors.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone knows the story already, like 1001 Arabian Nights, yeah. Whatever. I mean,
it was still done in a unique way, I felt.
But I can't remember whether there was a lot of action in it.
No, there isn't. And the other thing I worry about that in today's politically correct society, not to say that there isn't a lot of positivity with political correctness, but, you know, she was captured by him and enslaved and fell in love, and the amount of scorn I could imagine that would come out of that with this whole, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a controversial kind of story.
It is, because I can just imagine a lot of women's rights groups going, this is just Stockholm syndrome and we shouldn't celebrate the fact.
I mean, apart from the fact that it's a classic story anyway.
I know, but that will be dismissed in the grand scheme of it. Anyway, I will be interested. I think it will get panned as an idea. For that, we could be wrong.
Maybe. We haven't had any, well, not that I've seen, any actual sort of Middle Eastern kind of flavour movies lately.
But it's true. It might be taken up if they get some good, not whitewashed actors.
Yeah,
it might go down well.
Actually,
so we'll see.
Have you seen, going off topic as we do, the Aladdin live action remake that they're doing? Mm. It's actually got quite a lot of Middle Eastern actors
in it. Oh, yeah, but
it
wasn't originally down to be like that,
really?
And there was a lot of petitioning.
Right, I'm not surprised.
I can't remember who the main actress was going to be, but there was a lot of outcry and they cut it and they said that was only just a thought, it wasn't a definitive, and that wasn't how they went. So it is interesting. I feel like the power of the people is definitely in a lot of this stuff these days.
That's good, because
sometimes I think they maybe take it a little too over the top, but we'll see.
Well, the main thing that about that Aladdin movie that I was upset about was that Raja the tiger is not in it.
I know.
He's being replaced by like a handmaiden or something as her
well,
companion.
Well, it must be a bit hard to get a real tiger.
I know. You can't have a tiger in a live action
Jungle
thing,
Book, of which I haven't seen, and they managed to do the animals in Jungle Book. So I don't know why that had to happen.
Maybe they wanted to make it a bit more serious and not quite so funny.
Okay. I don't know.
Anyway, we'll see. That's coming out. Not coming out till, I don't know when it's coming out. Maybe next year.
I think Mulan's first anyway. I think that's first off the bat.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure they've already filmed it.
Right. I must be behind with my Disney
movies. I'm pretty behind in my Disney's. I have to admit, I was obsessed about Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
I'm still feeling a bit burnt because I wasn't that big a fan. Wasn't that big a fan anyway.
Prefer the original. About that. go back and listen to our
episode. Yeah, exactly.
Our argument about that.
We have gone off topic.
That's all right. So last Friday, the 1st of December, we had the Unearthed launch in Brisbane with Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner. So that was at the Brisbane Square Library and a always entertaining Amy Kaufman.
Oh, she's excellent.
I don't know if we've seen Megan Spooner before, but
we haven't.
She was very entertaining too. And Rihanna, our friend Rihanna, was the moderator. So they had a great old time up there. And I don't know how I didn't know this, but Unearthed has actually also been optioned for film. Yeah. And it's more likely to actually happen. Like they've had a lot of meetings about it and Sony's producing it and they've got a director and all that kind of thing. So
Is it more likely though than Illuminae? Because Illuminae's also been an option, but I felt that that was pretty likely to actually happen too. Well, I felt that that
Amy was saying that this has gone a lot further than anything that she's been involved in already.
So this is already, you've read most of it. Do you feel it's going to make a good movie?
Yeah. I'll talk about it later, but it's very Indiana Jones kind of.
In space.
It's an alien planet with big temples and it's exciting and big spaceships and it's, it could be an awesome movie.
Okay.
So.
Because I really felt Illuminate could be an awesome movie too.
Yes, definitely. But maybe actually being in space kind of thing might be a bigger budget maybe than.
The spaceship
and everything. Than a planet.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. That's just.
I'll have to read it and see. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention was that on the 16th of December, which is next Sunday week, in Brisbane, Elizabeth Foster is having her launch of Esme's Wish. It's already been
got a copy of?
I do. I don't have a hard copy of it, okay. But I read it a few weeks ago. But it's like a sort of young, a teen kind of age group.
Okay.
For it's a girl who goes into a parallel world basically to look for her mother who's missing.
I feel like I should read this.
It's good.
Had the word parallel in there.
Yeah, well, yes, it's worth it. It's like a fantasy kind of world. There's dragons and there's, it's actually quite similar to Akane. Like she meets up with people who are her friends and they have an adventure and it's really good. So
when I graduate, I'll read all these books.
Anyway, I recommend that. So it's on at the Mad Hatter's Bookshop, which is at Manly, I believe.
It's a cool name. I've
actually been there before. It's a great
Manly name. Is a bit of a drive, but.
It is a bit of a drive for us. But anyway, it's on, December 16th. So check that out. I think they already had their launch in Sydney, but.
Yep.
It's worth a read, as me as a wish.
Okay.
Okay, so.
We read recently.
Yeah, what have you been reading lately?
What have I been reading recently? I actually have read, which is quite exciting, between exams and this subject. Okay, so I read Nevermore.
Yes.
Or I should say I listened to Nevermore.
Oh, did you?
And I really liked the audiobook. The voice actor was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The book is excellent. And I won't go into much detail now because we're going to talk about that together in a little bit.
Yep.
But it was a definite 5-star for me. I really liked it. I think it should be on anyone with a sort of tween to teens. It's a surefire present as far as I'm concerned. I think you can't go wrong with it, boy or girl. Mm-hmm. I also listened to the third Magnus Chase, which is Ship of the Dead.
Yes.
Rick Riordan, as per usual, is just excellent. Witty banter, great entertaining story. Really enjoyed that as well. And I read Warcross by Mary Lou. So this was high up. As soon as I heard about this book, I desperately wanted to read this book because to me it's like mixing my favorite genres of computer games, online computer games, and reading. Just had the whole package. It was a totally different story to what I expected to be, but I loved it. I really loved it. And it's got some really good twists, one of which I didn't actually pick, which is not like me at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested to see how that series goes. But okay, I'd live so in that fantasy world. Oh, no, no, no. There's definitely going to be another book.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a duology, a trilogy or whatever, but there's yep. it's not finished. But it's okay. got some really good ethical questions, my favourites, done in a very non-full-on manner. So good for a teenager as well. You need awesome. To read it.
Yeah, I will.
It was a very fast read, so it's a good holiday read, I think, that one.
Great.
So, yeah, that's what I read recently. And I've just started All the Crooked Saints by Maggie. I can never pronounce her last name. Devata.
Yeah.
As an actual ebook, and I'm listening to The Kiss of Deception by Mary E. Pearson, which is like a few years old now, but
yep.
Always got good reviews. I'm doing that as audiobook, and I've not really gotten far with both, but that's okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How about you? I have nothing on the horizon. One day I want to read Tower of Dawn. That is going to come up eventually. I'm not in the frame of mind for it right now.
It's quite a tome. Which
terrifies me.
It's a large book.
It is. And it sort of is a bit like normally that's something I would be starting the day it's released. So I don't know what's happened. Am I a bit Sarah J. Maas out? Surely maybe. Not. I don't know.
Did you hear that she's pregnant?
No. Yeah, she's got a little writing to get done before that baby comes, man.
I'm not sure how far along she is, but
oh my goodness.
Yeah, she's going to have a baby.
I hope that the next book is like semi-written because she's never going to keep that schedule up.
A Catwoman book or something?
Well, she's definitely got the next one for the Court of Thorns and Roses, the spin-off series.
Yep.
That's been, I think, handed in as a draft.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, she needs to get these books done before that pregnancy's finished because...
I know. Because like
well, life changes with a baby. People, I'm sorry. Some there people are some manage.
People who write really well when they have a baby. I don't know how you do that, but yeah. You never know. My
goodness. She might be all right. There you go.
She might have to give up touring for a while and have more time to write.
Mm.
Eh.
Rochelle anyway. Mead slowed down when she had her babies. Just right, say it.
Okay. We'll see. She's got a few. We're you know that for.
You lose 10% of your brain capacity with every pregnancy.
Do you?
Your brain actually does shrink. I'm not kidding you because the body actually, your brain shrinks. The baby's eating up your brain at the end. I kid you not. I'm sorry. There you That's have
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Maybe it's 5% per pregnancy and I was like 10% so total for me. I know. You do actually become dumber for having a child. That's really depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is actual pure fact, by the way. I'm not just spouting I'm not, what's it called, where it's not alternative facts. It's not alternative facts, people. Okay. It's real fact. It's sad.
It comes from the midwife's mouth.
Anyway,
that is sad. So okay, about you? Okay, so I've been reading a fair bit lately as Good opposed girl. To how much I have earlier in the year. So I did read Nevermore. Exams are
done, right?
Well, I didn't have any exams, but I had a big assignment.
Tombs of editing to work on.
Nevermore, obviously. I also read The Extremely Inconvenient Adventures of Bronte Mettlestone by Jacqueline
good?
Moriarty.
Is it as good as the cover?
Yes.
Yay!
It is. It's gorgeous. yes, the I'm cover is gorgeous. I'm buying that
for myself for Christmas.
Yes, do. It's this girl who is... 11
it's definitely 9, middle grade
yeah her parents have when she was a baby they left her with her aunt and went off to have adventures and but then they get when she's 9 or 10-ish I can't remember the exact age they get word that they've been killed by pirates her parents have been killed by pirates and so then in their will they leave her this bunch of stuff that she then has to go and deliver to her aunts she's got like 6 aunts or something and if she doesn't it's the will is like bound in this fairy thread which means that she has to do it or there will be like disastrous consequences so she it's goes on this a lemony snicket
kind of yeah, vibe
it is quite lemony snicket it's like weird kind of
she does quirk so well yeah, though very she does quirky. It so well
and she discovers things about her parents that she didn't know before and like there's this big kind of reveal going on through the whole thing and the thing I really love about it is it's not just for kids it's like because it's a kid's book the language is quite simple but there is a lot of adult kind of themes in there like you know, learning more about yourself, about the people around you.
But that's what we love about Harry Potter, because deep down, as much as it's a simple story, there are actually a lot of underlying
serious messages, kind of themes.
Which is why I'm not doing it with Caitlin yet. I'm waiting for her to get older, because I want her to appreciate. Because, you know, the first couple maybe, but I want her to appreciate.
I think you could read them as a kid and just enjoy the magic of them, and then later you could reread them and find all the other stuff.
She's not a... I don't have confidence that she'll choose to read anything on her own, so let's just...
Well, she might read this. It's got pictures, it's illustrated.
Okay, she might still be a bit young though, because she's definitely too young for Nevermore.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this younger than Nevermore, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well... I don't know. But
there's so many amazing books now for those sorts of 9 to 12-year-old reader. Like, honestly, I feel like we were gypped big time as kids.
because just read adult stuff.
we did. But, like, I feel like there's just this amazing world of really high-quality, excellent middle-grade stuff. And it's just getting better and being built upon. And I'm like, I feel like...
I mean, we had...
this. You know, they've got Emily so Rodder much...
and... We had some middle grade kind of.
We do have some. Stuff. I had Victor Kelleher. That's who I remember reading. But I just feel like the Rick Riordans and like the How to Train Your Dragons. There's just some excellent series out there that they're so sport for choice. Well, really, Harry Potter in a way was so successful because it filled a market that wasn't really filled. Like
that's right.
Anyway, that could be a whole podcast probably.
Yes. Well, I wanted to talk about that later when we're talking about Nevermore. Bitterness
of. You know, York again, another excellent book. Anyway, it's a great time to be a middle grade kid. That's what I feel.
That's right. And if you have kids that are looking for, you're looking for presents for, I recommend that Jacqueline Moriarty book and obviously Nevermore.
Yep.
So the other things I read was Esme's Wish, I already mentioned. Talked about, yep. And I read Renegades by Marissa Meyer.
Yes.
Now, I was so looking forward to this. So this is a brand new kind of series for her. She wrote the Cinder...
Lunar Chronicles.
Lunar Chronicles, that's it.
Yep.
So this is superheroes.
Okay. It sounded great.
So in the future, some indeterminate near future, there are people who've got special abilities and they become superheroes. There's some... There's the Renegades are like the group of... like an organised group of people with superhero abilities that are in, they basically form government because the world descended into anarchy and
it reminds me was of a lot Overwatch, to death. Be honest, the computer game. Overwatch, okay. It's got vibes of Overwatch. I haven't played it, but I've watched the videos, like the intro videos. I'm like, it made me think of this anyway.
Yeah. So there are some anarchists who are like the bad guys, except they're not really bad. They're just against what the Renegades are.
Against the system.
So there's no good or bad. There's just sort of two gray. Sides. And there's a girl and a guy who are like on opposing teams, but they have to work together. And it's like
Romeo and Juliet.
But I was so looking forward to this. It sounded amazing. And the actual end product was...
Didn't do it for not, you, did it?
Not overwhelmingly awesome as I was hoping. I think the main problem is that the main girl is not particularly likable. And I know that's fine. Like you can have characters that aren't nice, but she was just... I don't know, she's just kind of annoying. I don't know how to describe it.
You don't have to love the characters every decision, but you need to have something that you can...
You have to connect with them.
Yeah, in
the,
some manner.
The other thing that, if you've read this book, then you understand, but in the prologue, her family is killed, basically. This is why she turns out to be an anarchist.
In her backstory.
And her little sister, who's a baby, whose name's Evie... And I have a daughter who's Evie, and she gets killed, and I just nearly put the book down. I was like, okay, this is...
Yeah, really, that's not a good start.
I can't do this.
That's not a good start.
It got better after that, but anyway, it's worth a read, and there's going to be more. There's more coming.
Has it got overall good reviews? Is it just...
Yeah, you I think have so.
Thought it was average. I've seen quite a few
people who have, like maybe Jean, for example, she was a bit disappointed with it. There were a few other people who gave it sort of 3 stars and they weren't overwhelmed with it. But I don't know. I enjoyed it while I was reading it. It was exciting, but yeah, just, I don't know, the girl rubbed me up the wrong way.
You're not selling it. That's
I know,
okay.
I know.
It looks like some people have given it,
some people
Paper Fury
loved
gave it.
It
2 stars.
Yeah, there are other people whose reviews I usually...
Well, others really loved it. Yeah, it's funny. It seems to be really divisive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, there you go. Because I've liked everything else that she's written.
Yes, I love her writing. It's just
normally,
this one.
Normally, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a bit different, though. Yeah.
The world building is amazing. Like the, I don't, maybe I'm just over superheroes.
Maybe. Like, I don't watch any of the superhero movies or anything.
I love superhero movies. Like, well, Marvel movies especially I love, but. Oh, by the way, I went to see Thor. I haven't seen a single
Thor movie.
The new Thor movie is so good.
Apparently Matt Damon does a cameo or something. Yeah, it's hilarious.
And I think 80% of the movie was the dialogue was improvised or something. And you can really tell because it's just funny.
Okay.
And a lot of it was filmed in Brisbane. So
yes, no, I knew that.
You can see like there's this one point they're in the middle of New York City and I'm like, and Shane like, and I look at that's Brisbane. That's like Albert Street or somewhere like. It was just looked like Brisbane. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
It was great. Anyway, go and see it.
I will see. I've got to watch the first two thoughts or whatever it is, or three or whatever the hell they're up to.
Well, this one is like totally different to all the other movies.
I know, but still I feel like I should get into the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably helps to watch. There's a lot of them to catch up on, though.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, okay.
So
I'm currently reading, I've read almost all of Unearthed by Andy Kaufman and Megan Spooner, as I was talking about before. So, yeah, Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones type thing on an alien planet.
I like that.
Race to the treasure type deal. And the two people from like different kind of classes of society who have to work together and fall in love and all that crap.
Yeah.
I love it. It's exciting. It's really well written. The main thing I think that I'm not loving about it is that it's quite similar to These Broken Stars in the writing, like the style of the storytelling.
Are
like
the characters similar?
No.
because I will say I liked These Broken Stars. Mm. I didn't absolutely love it.
Yeah, see, I loved These Broken Stars.
A lot did.
But this one I'm loving it. It's just very similar. So if you liked These Broken Stars,
but I love
and that
Tomb
trilogy,
Ra- I love that whole I love the whole Indiana Jones vibe. That sounds good to me.
It is cool. It's really good. So what else?
Maybe I'll prefer it.
Give it a try.
Okay. So are we gonna do picks of the year or do you want to talk about Nevermore first? Which one?
Oh.
Decisions.
Let's just talk about our favourites.
Okay, all right. We had a couple that were both on both our lists, didn't we? Okay, do we want to do them first or do we want to do them last? I'm making too many decisions.
I know, this is too hard.
Okay, well, how about I'll talk about the ones that I've put on my list and then I'll leave out the couple that we've got together. Then we can talk about them and then you can do yours or whatever. Okay.
Fine.
All right, so... Now, only one of these, I think, or only a couple of these were actually out this year. Some of these are older. I've really had a year of, I feel, going back and maybe reading things that were always on that list that I never got around to reading, which isn't bad. But up there, and probably this was, if it wasn't my favorite book of the year, it would have been probably my second or third favorite. It was in the top three, and that was We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. So I won't talk about it in detail because I think I've done that on previous podcasts, but it was just excellent. And it's probably the only non-supernatural, magical realism, fantasy, science fiction book on our list.
Yes.
So for anyone that's more into contemporary, it's an excellent book, though I would still suggest giving it a go, even if contemporary is not your normal vibe, because it is just that twist, man, is just full on.
It's a mystery, right?
Don't read anything about it. Don't let anyone spoil it. It is just like this unraveled story that is just, oh my God, at the end. It's excellent. I mentioned that I just finished Magnus Chase. I just really like that series. It's an excellent series. It's probably a little bit more young adult than middle grade, like his other series.
Yeah.
It's just heaps of fun. Definitely up there. Definitely up there as a book to give a go.
Yes.
For the year, you need to keep reading that series.
I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. I read the second one.
From the beginning of the year, Heartless by Marissa Meyer. That was excellent. That was great. It was just a fantastic book, and that's based on Alice in Wonderland world, but it's from the Queen of Hearts perspective, and she just did that descent into madness just so well.
Yes.
So well. Anyone that's into the whole Alice in Wonderland vibe or just likes a good telling from the baddies perspective should definitely pick that one up. And the cover was beautiful. It'd make a great Christmas present. Do you remember the covers that they had? That was so lovely.
I've got an art copy which has got a red cover, so I
don't remember. The ARC copy wasn't pretty. The actual finished copy was beautiful.
Okay.
For the middle grade readers, I loved York by Laura Ruby.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. It's, I would say, as good as Nevermore, personally. It might not be it's smaller, though, shorter.
Okay.
But I think it's up there, definitely worth picking up. But it has a real play on things like parallel worlds and things like that, which is my cup of tea as well.
Yep.
And it has Hamilton references. Hello. That just does it for me. And then the last ones, which I'm really only putting on because I don't know if I would have loved this as much if I'd read them. But for an audiobook, if you're buying an audiobook for anybody, the Illuminae Files, I read both Gemini and Illuminae this year back to back. They are just excellent audiobooks. And I've again said that so many times, but... they are worth a listen to, really worth a listen to, just for the AI. To get a hold of that. Just for the AI voice.
Oh, really?
Loved it. So anyway, that's my main ones. And then we had two that we both had on our list.
Yes.
Nevermore, which we are going to talk about in more detail.
Okay, we keep saying that.
I know. We will talk about it in more detail. It was just an excellent book. And the fact that it's by a debut Aussie author who lives probably only, what, an hour away from us is just extra good. I don't know.
I'm hoping to talk to her at some stage.
I do too. I'm like, was there a launch that I've just missed? Yes, and I'm really annoyed that I missed now because it was just simply amazing, that book. And then we both also put Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor on our list as well. And that was that was out in like April or something.
Yeah, it was early in the year.
It was an earlier one, but I love that story. I can't wait to find out what happens next. It's a much more of a slow burn than perhaps some of the other ones on my list. Like a lot of mine are fast-paced adventure type books. We Were Liars wasn't, and Strange the Dreamer wasn't. They were slower.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was so good with like, how do you describe it? It's like an alien world where...
Oh,
I can't describe it without giving anything away, but it was amazing. If you like fantasy, kind of,
it's another sci-fi. One with a beautiful cover, which makes it a perfect Christmas present.
Yes.
Beautiful covers.
And it's quirky as well, but in a really awesome way.
Lainey Taylor is just an excellent storyteller.
Yep.
And so what did you add to your list? Yes. So what have you added to your list?
I've added Lady Helen and the Dark Days Pact.
Mm-hmm.
By Alison Goodman, which is the second book in that, like, if you've been listening to us for long, you know how much we love Lady Helen.
Yeah.
The second one just took everything from the first book and made it even better.
It was very good.
So we love it. So I think the third book.
Is it due in January or has it been?
No, I think it's been put back. Yeah. I don't know when it's due to come out now, but it won't be January, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that's basically Buffy, but in Regency period.
Yeah.
And demons.
With tentacles.
And tentacles, yeah. And I think the second one was in Brighton, and the third one's going to be set in Bath, which is
I was going to say, lovely. Was it Brighton or Bath? But it was Brighton, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think Brighton was the second one.
Yeah,
and the third one's going to be Bath. So, yeah, we've all got, like, our theories about what's coming next. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So the other ones I had on my list were A Semi-Definitive List of Worst Nightmares by Crystal Sutherland.
That does sound Aussie like an author, excellent book.
Contemporary with like just a touch of kind of paranormal-ish about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one where she has a list of things that she's afraid of that could kill her.
Family's a curse, right? So everyone dies by the thing that they fear most.
That's right. So she works through her list with a guy from her school, and it's exciting. I mean, it's sad. It's a bit depressing, but because a lot of her family is very anxious, but it taught me a lot about depression actually. So
yep.
I'd recommend reading that one. Then we've got Dracora by Lynette Noni, which is her Arcane series book 3. She's just gone from strength to strength with this series. Like the first book was okay. It was a bit sort of cliche, go to a different world and have a school type thing, but this one just took that and tipped the whole thing on its head. You just sort of get partway through the story and go, what is happening here? But it's amazing. It's great. So I'm looking forward. The next one's called Grey Veil, and I think it's coming out in a couple of months.
Is like it maybe 5 books in total in this one?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And so she's written 3. I'm going to have to read this series at some point.
Yes, you are. Book 4 is coming out in the next couple of months.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she's having a launch in January in Brisbane. I need to look that up and I'll put a link on on the show notes. But I'm fairly certain that it's in January. And so I hope she's got copies of the book available. Would be great. I'm looking forward to that now. And the last one I wanted to mention was Vigil by Angela Slatter, which actually came out last year. And she's got another one out called Corpse Light. And I think the third book is coming out soon as well. This is one that's a detective kind of paranormal detective thing, but it's set in Brisbane. So
okay,
there's like a shadow world kind of thing that's hidden from our sight. But
yeah,
paranormal stuff going down in Brisbane, and it's really exciting. It's very familiar setting. So I really enjoyed that.
You've got a lot of Aussie books on this list, haven't you? I just realized
actually they're all Aussie.
All but one.
That's right. Oh geez, I've done well this year, haven't I?
You have. Considering I've only got two if we include Nevermore. I've only got two, so that's all right.
No, that's cool. It happens like that sometimes. I think this year I've had a lot of
I haven't read a lot of Aussie YA because I've been doing older stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So in association with this list, we are having a giveaway, as we usually do when we wrap up for the year. Mm-hmm. Just go to teaandtreetops.com. Actually, probably on the post for this episode, there will be a giveaway and you can win. Two winners will win one of the books, either from our list or if you've got a different book that you have in mind, we can negotiate that. But yeah, from Book Depository or Booktopia if you're in Australia, and go there and enter to win a copy of a great book that we read this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that book could be Nevermore by Jessica Townsend. Okay, so book one in the series of Nevermore, The Trials of Morrigan Crow. It was published in October this in 2017 by Hachette. Around the world, they did this amazing marketing campaign for it. Little posters and standy things in the shops everywhere you go. You just see this book everywhere.
Is it like that everywhere? Because it's definitely like that in Australia, but
I don't know about overseas. But they did have a really big. She went on tour to the US as soon as the book was released.
Yeah.
So and it looked like she had a big crowd. It's over just there,
excellent book that like it was a winner. It was a clear winner.
And they sold the film rights straight away as well. Yeah. So big deal.
Mm.
Do you want to read?
The synopsis. Okay,
it's quite long.
Morrigan Crow is cursed. Having been born on Eventide, the unluckiest day for any child to be born, she's blamed for all local misfortunes, from hailstorms to heart attacks. And, worst of all, the curse means that Morrigan is doomed to die at midnight on her 11th birthday. But as Morrigan awaits her fate, a strange and remarkable man named Jupiter North appears. Chased by black smoke hounds and shadowy hunters on horseback, he whisks her away into the safety of a secret magical city called Nevermore. It's then that Morrigan discovers Jupiter has chosen her to contend for a place in the city's most prestigious organization, the Wondrous Society. In order to join, she must compete in 4 difficult and dangerous trials against hundreds of other children, each boasting an extraordinary talent that sets them apart, an extraordinary talent that Morrigan insists she does not have. To stay in the safety of Nevermore for good, Morrigan will need to find a way to pass the tests, or she'll have to leave the city to confront her deadly fate.
Ominous.
It is ominous. Now, I have to admit, you first read that and the first thing I feel is it's just like book 4 of Harry Potter. So yeah, it just makes me think, oh, Triwizard Tournament. I love the Triwizard Tournament. Yeah, that's right. And I was like, sounds fantastic. But you can certainly tell just from that why there's a lot of Harry Potter comparisons from the very beginning.
And it was they've been comparing it to Harry Potter, but I mean, why?
I feel like they've been purposefully comparing it to Harry Potter. Like even the cover, I feel, has got a very Harry Potter-esque feel about it.
It does.
And it's not a bad thing. They're trying to sell to the same market.
I mean, that's what I've been thinking about this book, thinking, what is it about Harry Potter that makes it, that has made it such a roaring success that they need to compare everything to it and say, like, if you liked Harry Potter, you'll like this. I mean, there's loads of, maybe it was the first really big blockbuster middle grade fantasy kind of thing at the time. But is it the school aspect of it, like the feeling of belonging to a group of friends that appeals so much to people? The big
picture. Like, it's got a lot of really... I think it came along at the right time. Because, look, to me, Harry Potter, and we're not even talking about Nevermore now. We've done a great job of this book. Okay. But, like, you know, Diana Wynne Jones is very similar in a way to Harry Potter too, but it doesn't have the roaring success that Harry Potter did. I think at that time there was nothing else that had come out like it on the market.
Yeah.
And the first two books are really quite weak. It gets better as it goes, but you realise how much she planned it from the beginning.
Yeah.
When you get further along, do you know what I mean? This book is much more heavy for a first book in comparison to Harry Potter. It's huge. It really is, for a middle grade book, massive. And it's done a lot more world building from the beginning, I think. Yeah. Well, the world building was a bit more spread out in those early Harry Potter books.
I found that early section of this so sad, like how she's the cursed one. Everyone blames her for everything. Like,
I feel that in some ways this is more like the Magisterium series. There's a lot of links to the Magisterium as well.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a combination, but in the same way, it's so unique too. Like, I will admit the first third of this book, I was like, gosh, I can see why people are comparing it. And I can't put my finger on what it is, but it just has such that magical, it just does this great, quirky, whimsical,
yes,
fantastical world that's just...
And it's
really well done.
It's laugh out loud funny sometimes too. Like, sometimes she says stuff and you're just like... What?
That's right. And I loved it. But
before we go further, let's try and talk about it without spoilers first, and then
we'll
do a spoiler warning, shall we?
That's right.
Then we can spoil stuff.
So I don't know. I just found it just a real pleasure to read, and I thought there were so many aspects that I just really thoroughly enjoyed. I loved the trials. Yes. I loved the fact that, you know, and I think some of these, I mean, it's a bit trope-like, but you know, these characters come from these horrible lives with horrible families or whatever, and they get whisked away, and you know, it's like it's almost deserved because they've had to live this suffering life so far. But in some ways though, it's a trope that I enjoy, because you know, I was really glad for her that she got to have this family. Do you know what I mean? Then
yes, and also the characters, there's so many different characters, but they all have their unique kind of personality that's quirky in their own way.
Yep.
And for a kid's book that's not like, you know, that needs to get through the story, that's amazing. Like, that doesn't happen that often in a lot of kids' books.
That's right. I think it shows that everyone can be fantastic on their own, in their own skin. Like, you know, you don't have to set a certain, you don't have to be a certain way. I love that this was, you know, she's an Aussie author. It didn't seem in any way Australian. It didn't seem in any way any part of the world. It was, I couldn't pinpoint when in history any of this was. If it was a like historical, if it was current time, if it was
technology, like
no, it's really hard to pinpoint though, and it, or is it in a totally parallel Earth? You just don't know. But and it's not important to know. But I loved it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's totally unique in its own way. It's hard to say things without knowing if I'm going to spoil anything. It's been a while since I've read it. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh.
No, we haven't spoiled anything yet. Okay. I just wanted to mention Jupiter North.
Excellent character.
Who is amazing, and he's a bit kind of 11th Doctor type.
See, I didn't pick up on that because characters. I'm not a Doctor Who watcher.
No, he's just that level of kind of random kind of quirkiness that it was very Doctor Who, like any of the incarnations, to be honest, of the Doctor, they're all a bit like that.
I loved his extraordinary talent, which you don't find out until towards the end.
We won't spoil anything, but that was that whole talent thing was pretty amazing. Like, some people have really boring talents that are just like, I can't even remember anymore. It's been a few weeks since I read it.
Yeah.
They're just like a thing you can do. But, and then some people have like actual paranormal abilities.
I know. It's a really, one of the friends is an excellent dragon rider.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good rider. It's kind of like being a good football player. While others have, full on supernatural talents. And it's really, you know, and some of them were really beautifully thought out. Like, I really thought his talent was really... I don't know. I loved it. It wasn't you just straightforward, simple talents and things like that. I did like the breach over between the supernatural and the normalcy. I thought that was really well done as well. Like, they did link normal world to supernatural world type well.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the Wondrous Society, I'd like to be in the Wondrous Society. I don't yes. know about you. Like, they're sort of like adventuring, I don't yeah. know, this real gung-ho, it had a real steampunk feel to it almost, this
yeah.
whole,
yeah.
you know, let's find lost cities and adventure and yeah, have like a great society, time. And yeah, it's
Extraordinary Gentlemen type.
Yes, thing. League of yeah. Extraordinary yeah. Gentlemen. That's exactly what it was like.
Yes.
It was like, it was good. It was good. I like the character of Morrigan Crow. I like the character yes. of Jupiter North. I was not a big fan of the baddie so much. I felt that that was too ripped off and cliched.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I was still surprised. Okay, let's go to a spoiler. I wasn't surprised. Okay, spoiler warning. let's do spoilers.
Okay.
Okay, if you haven't read it yet and you want to, thank you for listening to our review. But from here on in, spoilers.
Well, let's just say, if you want to stop it here, I think we both gave it 5 stars.
Yes.
I think we both think this is an excellent Christmas present that should go under any boy or girl's tree who is even a remote fan of reading.
Yes.
Because it is just, I'd say, what do you reckon, from 10? 10? 9? 10?
Yeah. Well,
age, I mean, like, it's not too, it'd be about the same as
Harry Potter kind of level. It was like
book 3-4 Harry Potter, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe. It's not too simple, but it's not like crazy complicated either.
There's none of the really dark stuff
yeah.
yet.
I mean, it does say she's going to die on her birthday, which is a bit dark. But, you know, after that, the rest of it is not super dark.
So. Yeah.
So, yeah, get it.
I think it's. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Adults get it too.
Definitely, definitely. Mm. Okay, all right, we can spoil now.
Okay, cool. What I was going to say was the bad guy being that guy that she keeps seeing.
Yes.
I didn't get that. I didn't guess that was actually him. I don't know why, because when it came out, I was like, oh, that's obvious.
How did I not realise? I didn't at first, and then I was like, there's something off about this.
Yeah.
But I am holding – my belief is – that it's going to be a bad guy who isn't actually that bad. Like, you know how Voldemort is through and through a baddie?
Yes.
I think there's going to be shades of grey in this, and this yeah. is a misunderstood, or we're going to get to see why this person is seen as so bad.
Isn't he out to control the world or something, though?
I can't remember. No, but he has the ability to, and this is the whole thing. He's got the ability to through his wonder crafting.
Yeah.
And she has the ability to.
Yes.
And I think that... I don't know. Something's going to have happened.
He was using his power for sort of evil, and she was going to be.
Well, I felt that it wasn't very clear. I felt that there was a lot of demonizing of this guy, but did he actually go bad through fault of his own? Or, like, I don't quite get how that's done. Like, part of me still thinks, is he going to have been set up and he's actually not so bad?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm willing to think that that could be a huge twist in the future.
Yes. Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see whether.
And she's going to have to work with him anyway, because she needs to learn how to control this power, basically.
Yeah, from what I can tell. Jupiter doesn't really know.
No one does. No, I have to admit, I just love the whole that he can see the truth of a person and the truth of an ability and the history of that. I just thought, what an amazing power that would be. So hard to live with, but so, you know, he did it, handled it so well. I just love the whole Christmas too. I know it seems like such a side story, but like they had to choose the teams.
Oh,
that's right,
the Winter Queen. Yeah. I love that.
And they either supported St. Nick or they supported whatever.
And then at the end they all joined in and had a party anyway. Awesome. Yeah, I love that.
And I just thought that alone makes it a perfect Christmas present book, just to have that. That was just such an excellent way of viewing Christmas. I don't know.
And that was one of the things I loved about Morrigan, because she was taking everything so seriously, like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Because she's been in this kind of I'm responsible for everything point of view for so long. And then it just turns out that everything is just fun and games kind of thing until the very end, when it's all kind of serious. But
thing is, she was so sure that entire time. She's like, I don't have a special talent. And he's like, don't you worry about it. And while I can see why he did that, I felt sorry for her that she had to be anxious right up until the end.
That's like, she was pretty anxious.
Because it was so important to her to stay. And I was like, would anyone be that cruel to an 11-year-old? Really? Really?
Well, he did keep telling her, don't worry, trust me. Yeah. So that was
But he could have said, I promise you, you have a talent. I don't want you to be burdened by it, but you have one, and I know it to be true, and we will get there. Don't you stress. Yeah, he could have
been a bit more forthcoming, maybe.
That's right. Ooh. There were better ways he could have worded that. But he was so erratic and eccentric. Like, what happened fit with his personality, but still.
Yes.
I loved the whole hotel was just like a character of its own. Yeah, the hotel was amazing. The way that chandelier shattered and then it was rebuilt by the end. I just loved the whole... Yeah, it just grew again. It was morphing.
That's right. I loved that. And her room kept changing to the different things.
To things that she liked.
Like the hammock and the, like, beds and... That was so cool. I'd like to live there. That'd be cool.
I would love that hotel, and I can't think of a name of the hotel.
I think it's Deucalion, is that it?
I don't know, but I've got the book here. What an amazing hotel. It was a beautiful... I love that idea. I'd stay there over Hogwarts. If you had to choose a place, Hogwarts I'm sorry. Kind
of dangerous at
like,
times.
Like, this wasn't like, a school. This was a hotel. It was a home for a family. Like, yeah. And I can't remember the boy's name, the nephew. Who wasn't in the Wondrous Society, and how they hated each other, but you knew that they were going to be friends at the end. Yes. That was just so well done too. That was beautifully done.
Yeah, it's Deucalion.
Yeah. And the guests, the eccentric guests, and they all sort of took her in as a family. I just loved it. And
the cat, the giant cat.
I know. It was just
hilarious. So snarky. It
was
so
whimsical. And it was just such a beautiful setting that even if nothing had happened, I would have loved reading that book.
Can you tell this is the first time we've actually talked about it because we're just gushing about everything?
Well, it's coming back to me because I read it ages ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's coming back to me as we talk about it. But I just loved – look, when I got over myself, because it's really hard to not think, oh, this is directly out of Magisterium, oh, this is directly out of Harry Potter, because really I felt that those two books, if you like those two series, there's no way you're not going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does have a uniqueness. For all its similarities, it does a beautiful job of being its own story.
Yes. And I can't wait to see what happens next.
No, but it's going to make an amazing movie. Because really, the Triwizard Tournament to me was the best Harry Potter in some ways because it just fits the movie format so well.
I'm hoping they don't cut too much out though because a movie like...
It might not get that whimsical vibe down. Like with that Goblet
of
Fire
book, they cut out a lot of that.
I know.
And they do have three trials. And they have to get through the
trials.
Mm, mm.
But I do feel that...
As long as they don't rush anything.
Look, it's very hard to get whimsy into a movie.
Yeah. I mean, the people who did the first couple of Harry Potter movies did a really good job of
whimsy. See, I can't stand the first couple of Harry Potter movies.
The movies themselves aren't great. But
look, they got the scenery perfect. Yes,
Hogwarts is great. And
yeah, I didn't like when they changed Hogwarts in book three. I didn't like they changed the castle that it was set at.
Did they?
Yes. Oh. And I didn't like it as much because I thought they perfected it.
I love number three
is the obvious change, but they had a different director. Then they kept that same castle, but they tried to morph it more into it. Yeah, look, the last ones, the director for the last three were the best, I thought, from a director perspective. But anyway.
We've moved back to Harry Potter.
And look, it's really hard. If you have a Harry Potter fan, they're going to love this. There's no doubt about it. I can't wait for Caitlin and Maddie to get older so I can go through this again with them. Do you know what I mean? And I feel that they will be at the perfect age when the series is finished, which is good.
I'm collecting middle grade books at the moment.
I am too.
Matthew will want to read them at some point.
I still have a reluctant reader and I'm just praying that that changes. I will force reading on this child whether she likes it or not. I actually can't stand the book cover. I don't know if I mentioned that already.
Oh, don't.
I feel that it's not a great book cover. I feel that they could have done a better job.
What's the American cover like?
As far as I'm aware.
Oh, is it?
But they tried to target the whole...
sparkles coming out of it. Is that the advanced copy? The
sparkle coming out of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't mind it. It's not that bad.
No, but they've really tried to hit that Harry Potter market. Like, it's so similar to that Harry Potter, those original Harry Potter books. I just feel that they could have done something flasher. Mm. I guess they are trying to keep it. That one I prefer.
Yes. I'll put both covers on the post so you can see it.
In any case, it's well deserved of its 5 stars. For a debut author, it's excellent. And I can't wait to see what her next couple of books, when she's got a bit of writing down.
Well, she's certainly been around. Right. She's had launches in all the cities and we missed the Brisbane one. Unfortunately, it was like a Friday afternoon, which isn't
really ideal,
suitable. But and then she went over to the US for a tour and everything. So, you know, she's doing well. Amazing. Okay, I think that's all we've got to talk about today. That ended up being a long one. So we'll
That's because it's been like, what, 6 weeks? 8 weeks? God knows how long.
No, it's not that long.
Hasn't it?
Maybe 5.
I don't know how many assignments and exams I've sat in the middle of that period, but I feel like my life has just been a year in from that last one. Anyway.
Yes. Well, we'll try and get another one in before you go away overseas.
Yep.
And so have a very happy Christmas if you're one who celebrates Christmas. And if mm-hmm. you're not, then enjoy your December and New Year. And we'll catch you again after that, probably.
Well, I'm away from December 28th, so we're either going to be doing one before Christmas, but you might not post it till after Christmas. We'll see. It might not be till mid-January.
Well, if you want to send us feedback on anything we've talked about today or suggestions of things we could talk about next year, you can email us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com. Or you can get in touch on Twitter at @teatreetops.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews of A Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com.
And make sure you go there and enter the giveaway.
Yes, do.
And buy us the coffee because we need it.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Bye.